today as we come to the table.
This part of being a dad, we have this protection thing built into us, which is good. God gave us that. Well, Jesus is the same way. And he says, you know what? If you're going to come in, you got to come in the right way, straightforward, through the door, none of this sneaky stuff. Let it be straightforward. The problem is the religions of the world are sneaky. They're deceptive. They try to come in another way. They try to offer different doors that you can go through. Jesus is going to show today, you know what? There's only one door. You can't get in except through that door. When you get in through that door, you are a part of the family, and now you belong.
Part of God's family, you can only come in one way. You can't con or fake or force your way in. No, the only way is to admit your weakness and come to Jesus, who is the door. He's a formidable obstacle to any who would mean harm to his kids, but even more warm and welcoming to those who come in need. Well, thanks for staying with us today as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Pastor Mark Kirk of Calvary Knoxville. As Pastor Mark continues our study of John in today's message, we'll encounter a metaphor that would have made a lot of sense to its audience. The people Jesus spoke to during those days understood well the relationship of sheep to shepherd. And it would have struck a beautiful chord with them as well. Now let's join Pastor Mark in the book of John, chapter 10, as he shows us how Jesus is the door.
Let's read the first few verses. We won't read all of it, but the first few, and then we'll go back and look at this. I want to kind of lay a foundation for you guys. Notice what Jesus says in verse 1. He says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs in some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and his own sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers." And Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Guys, today we look at two things, Jesus being our door, but then what's on the other side of that door is Jesus being our family. And that's really the focus that we're going to be looking at. We all know what doors are for. They're our passage from one place to another. And they're extremely useful and extremely necessary when it comes from moving from one place to another or getting into a building. Maybe you remember the premise of the movie Monsters, Inc. I don't know if any of you have seen it or not, but the Disney movie Monsters, Inc. And again, the whole idea are all these different doors. And you go through the different door and they could travel back and forth between the world they were in and another world. And they had this door that was there. That gives the idea of the passage of a door. But what makes what Jesus is going to say so different today is there aren't numerous doors. It's not like Monsters, Inc. in the kingdom. There is one door. You go through that door, which is Jesus, and it's the only way to get into heaven. And yet what we're going to see today is there are multiple doors that are offered by the religious world around us. Buddhism offers a door. Hinduism offers a door. Islam offers a door. Jehovah's Witness and Mormons offer doors. But none of those doors will get you into the kingdom. The only door that will get you into the kingdom is Jesus Christ. And that's what he's going to make clear today. So again, he's the final authority. He's the final one we have to go through. And while some people think this is awfully narrow, I love this. And I've shared this with you before. I like the fact that there's not a lot of choices. You ever go to the restaurants and they have like these magazines? I mean, look, I love Cheesecake Factory. I love it. It's one of my favorite restaurants, but you might as well get out your encyclopedia. I asked them, they put it down. They said, can I get the index, please? I'd like to look up and find out the meals in this category from what year they came, and then I'll move on to the, it's unbelievable. And I'm not picking on Cheesecake Factory. I love it. But it's literally this book you get. And by the time I look at it, I think, how can I pick something to eat? Well, don't even think you want cheesecake, because then there's another book for that. And you got to, which cheesecake? I don't know. This is terrible. I just want them to give me a bite of everything on one plate. They ought to have like the everything plate. Wouldn't that be great? Everything's on the plate. There it is. And then one bite of every piece of cheesecake. Oh, hold on. Don't go buy me cheesecake. See, I can't. I am not dropping hints. I promise. I'm using an example. But the problem is there's almost too many choices. I like it better when you go to a restaurant, quite honestly, and there's like a steak or two. A chicken dish or two, a pasta or two, and then I pick one and everything's fine and there's not this nervous moment, you go first, no, you go first, no, after you, you. Well, I have to go to the restroom, I'll be back in a minute. And what'd you get? I don't know, what are you gonna get? It drives you crazy, right? This is what I love about the Lord. There's not a huge menu of doors. There's not a huge selection. There's one door. John 14:6, no one goes to the Father except by me. Jesus is going to say again, using this example, there's only one door in. I am that door into the sheep pen. You can't get in any other way. And again, the next thing I love about that is that once you get in that door, there's a relationship of family. And this is the second thing we're going to see that the Lord offers today. And that is not just a door in, but once you're in, you're welcomed into family. All of us want to be involved in family. I mean, how many of us watched the Duggars at least once in our life, right? And here's what's amazing about when the Duggars was on TV, you know, 19 kids and all this and whatever. That was one of the most popular shows in America for the 7 years that it ran. And why? It wasn't action-packed. It wasn't the explosions and all the special effects. It was because people long for a loving family. People long to have a mom and dad they can love. Mom and dads long to have kids they can love. They long to have this relationship where there's this harmony. And we know there's no perfect family. We know that. But the bottom line is when you see a family that's functioning semi-well, like the Duggars did, there's something that draws us in. It's the same thing with the kingdom of God. Yes, we have all of our problems, but we see something that the world doesn't have, and it draws us in, and we want to be a part of it. I was sharing the story that came to the Snickers bar thing. I had a buddy, Charlie Fugit, in Jonesville, Virginia, and I can remember Charlie and Chuck, and I had two friends, both of them named Chuck. Isn't that interesting? And now my wife, you know what my nickname is? She calls me Chuck. Now, I don't know if there's anything to that, but the bottom line is I had Charlie and Chuck as my two best friends growing up in Jonesville, and both of them, you know, I'm not going to say they were rich. They may hear this and go, we weren't rich, but they were, compared to where I was, they seemed like they were. And they always had plenty of food everywhere and plenty of fun things out in the garage. You could ride and have fun. There was all kinds of stuff they had that I didn't have as a kid. And I would love to go to their house because both of their parents were very much, hey, if you're here, you're a part of our family. You ever been around people like that? You go to their house and you feel like you really could get a Coke out of the fridge and it would be okay. It wouldn't be awkward. Or maybe you really could make a sandwich and nobody, there's those places you go where you think you probably could, but you don't know how to be taken, right? But then there's those families, they're just like that. And that was how Chuck's family was and how Charlie's family was. And I remember I'd go to Charlie's house and not only could you just get whatever, maybe grab a snack or some, this kind of thing, some kind of bag of chips, you know, the little thing version or whatever. That was great to me. We didn't have those kind of snacks around my house growing up. But one thing they always had, and this is where I got into trouble first service, so don't go buy me another one, although that's very sweet. I love Snickers bars. I hate Snickers bars. And I could always go to Charlie's and get a Snickers bar, right? And not only could I get a Snickers bar and not feel guilty about it, I could go to his garage and he had a motorcycle. And so did Chuck. And my dad never would let me get a motorcycle because when he was older, he wrecked on one. So because he wrecked, he never would let me get one. So I had to wait until I got old enough to get one on my own. But anyway, the bottom line is I would go to their house and we get to ride motorcycles. Here's the bottom line. Everything in the house was mine. It felt like. Everything in the garage, all the fun toys that I could never, ever get to play with otherwise, they were mine. Right? And so I loved to go to their house because I could do this and ride, you know, all over the farm and all these kind of things. That is what the kingdom of God is like for everybody in this room. I don't have all these things these people have. I don't have a nice house. I don't have a nice car. I don't have all these friends. I don't have them, whatever. You have the kingdom. It is yours. You can't use it yet. But it's been given to you. Jesus said, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. So understand, everything in the fridge is yours. Everything in the garage you can ride without worry. Everything belongs to you. You can enjoy. I said that first service, I realized, wait a minute, I'm naming all these guy things that guys like. Good ladies, everything in the closet you can wear. Everything, the shoes, everything, it's all yours. The necklace, the jewelry, it's yours to wear. That's what the kingdom is like, because you're a part of a family. You belong. You're not an outsider. You've been brought in, and if you've come in, through the door. But what happens when you try to come in some other way? What happens, dads, is somebody's trying to get in your family's house through a window. You jump into action, don't you? And you're prepared in case it does. I know some of you are. You're prepared. You've got the rockets and the bombs set up, and you're ready, okay? You've got your alarms. You're ready to go. It's because it's part of being a dad. We have this protection thing built into us, which is good. God gave us that. Well, Jesus is the same way. And he says, you know what? If you're going to come in, you got to come in the right way, straightforward, through the door. None of this sneaky stuff. Let it be straightforward. The problem is the religions of the world are sneaky. They're deceptive. They try to come in another way. They try to offer different doors that you can go through. Jesus is going to show today, you know what? There's only one door. You can't get in except through that door. When you get in through that door, you are a part of the family, and now you belong. Now, what's the setting as we get into this? The blind man had just been healed. We saw that Jesus accepted him. Said, he said, I believe, Lord, and he's now been brought into the kingdom, so to speak. Jesus has rebuked the Sadducees and Pharisees because they say they can see, but they're really blind. And so he's just rebuked them. And actually, as we cross into chapter 10, this is a continuation of 9, okay? So this is not a new story. We're still the same day, same scene, same dove channel, starting in chapter 10, verse 1. Notice what it says, most assuredly I say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, I have that underlined, but climbs up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now they would do that. They would try to climb over the walls. Here's how the sheep pens were laid out. The sheep pens had these walls built. Some, they say, had walls as high as 10 feet tall, with like briars and different things they would keep fresh and put on the top. It's interesting, when you go to Israel today, you'll see some of these concrete walls built, and now they put broken glass in the top of it. So they'll like have wet concrete and stick all the broken glass up there, so if somebody's trying to climb over, they've got real trouble. The same idea back during that day, but instead of glass, they would use sharp objects or whatever, and the thieves would come and try to climb over, and they would realize if they did try to climb over, they had to get past all that, then they had to get past the shepherd, then they had to get back out. And it's interesting because sometimes they would go in twos. They would have one go over, grab the sheep, and toss them over so they could work together as a team. Isn't that interesting that oftentimes when people come to steal sheep today, they show up in twos at your front door? I find it interesting. The enemy uses the same tactics that he has throughout the centuries. And so the bottom line is that that's how you would do it. There was only one door at the front, and guess who was at that door? What they called the doorkeeper. And he would keep the door, and he'd watch over the door. And what you would do is, there were two different ways. The doorkeeper would either be there or the shepherd would be there. And so the doorkeeper, if he was there, what they would do is at the end of the day, during the warm months, because the sheep would be in during the cold months, they'd bring all their flocks to this one big pen for that region. There might be 5, 6, 7 different flocks in there. They'd bring them all in through that one door, and then that person guarding that door would stay there all night long. Or if there wasn't someone to guard the door, the shepherd himself would be there all night long, standing in that doorway to guard them. That way, if anybody tried to get to the sheep, they had to come past the shepherd. He was there guarding, and literally, he became the door. So this imagery would have been very full and rich to the Jews of that day. They understood this. They were shepherds. They were farmers. James Montgomery Boyce, a very famous theologian, said he traveled to the Middle East once, and he met some shepherd out in the middle of nowhere, and he asked him, he said, hey, so here's your sheep pen. He found the sheep pen with the walls. It had only one door, just like the example they're using here, even a modern one. And he said, by the way, here's where all the sheep are. He says, where's the door? Because the door's just an opening with no hinges, no closure on it. He said, where's the door? He said, that shepherd, an unbelieving shepherd, lay down across that doorway and said, I'm the door. I'm the door. If the sheep want to come in, they come in through me. If they want to get out, they've got to have permission to get out. It's like, I guard the door. I'm the doorkeeper. I protect them from the wild animals. I protect them from all this going on. That is the picture he's giving. We are his sheep, and he is the doorkeeper of the sheep. Now, this gets really cool because when they would come to get their flocks, we're going to see in a minute, he says that we know his voice. When they would come to get the flocks, they would simply walk up there with all these sheep intermingled, and they would simply call out their name or make a noise that the sheep recognized. And for whoever belonged to that shepherd, they would come out. So he'd get out of the door, the doorkeeper would get out of the door, the shepherd would make some noise or begin to call him by name, and they'd come out one by one because they knew his voice. But still to this day, and of course sheep wouldn't change, that makes sense, if it's not the voice of the shepherd, they stay in there. They don't come out. And yet it's funny because even though some do come out, there's always some that are kind of stubborn or whatever they'll say, and so the shepherd will call them by name. They name them. And some of them are like the very first ones. You call their name, they're right out the door. Some of the others are like, you know what? Get out here right now. Bucky, get out here. Jim Bob, where are you? And again, I'm using the Southern names. I'm sure they're not named Bucky and Jim Bob, but you get the point. The bottom line is, some were more stubborn than others, and some were more compliant than others. Is that not just like the body of Christ today? Some of you guys, all the Lord has to say is, over here, over here. And you're like, what do you need, Lord? What do you need? And it's not because you hear any better. It's just because you'll obey quicker. Some of you, Lord, say, over here, over here, over here. And they're like, la, 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 right? And then what happens? The Lord makes things happen in our life that are not good. And all of a sudden, when these bad things happen, we, you know, maybe I better kind of just head back toward the Lord a little bit here. He does that to drive us back. He knows how to deal with his flock. He knows your personality. He knows what'll work with you. He knows what won't work with you. And so that's the job of, you know, every parent. We know that, to try our best to figure out what works with our kids. And sometimes we can't do it well. The Lord always knows. He knows all of his kids. He knows what we will respond to. And if you're stubborn and you're hard-headed, he's going to meet you in a stubborn and hard-headed way. Just be assured. He's more than able to do that. And so he says here, I am, you know, the door. I'm the one that you have to come through. They would have understood this, as I said, very, very easily. They would have recognized the legitimacy, the fact there was only one way in. He's saying that he is that way. There is no other alternative way. And anybody that tries to come in any other way is a thief or a robber. They're not going to be accepted. It's interesting. He says here, a thief, literally what a thief is, the word means here one who takes by deception. So a thief would be more like the cults. They're giving you deceptive things. Here, come our way. Come this way, right? Whereas a robber is someone who takes something by force. A thief would trick you out of your money. A robber will pull a gun on you and say, hand me your money. You see the difference? That's a thief and a robber. The thing is, both are out there today. Mark, what's an example? Well, obviously the cults are a great example of those that are deceptive that will try to steal the truth from you. They'll come and try to present to you a Jesus, if you will. By the way, every religion out there that I know of has a Jesus. Have you noticed that? They all have a Jesus. Now, why would that be? Jesus, there's only one Jesus, and he's the Jesus of the scriptures. Why would there be multiple Jesuses? Because Satan knows that if he can present a Jesus that's a false Jesus and get you to follow that one, he can lead you astray. He would never present you the real Jesus. But he's also smart enough to know, I've got to include a Jesus in this religion. I've got to stick a Jesus in Jehovah's Witness. I've got to stick a Jesus in Mormonism. I've got to stick a Jesus in Buddhism. I've got to stick a Jesus even in Islam. Why? Because if I don't, nobody will believe it. Because everybody at least acknowledges that Jesus was one of the greatest men that ever lived, so I've got to put a Jesus in there. But if it's the wrong Jesus, guys, you're not getting in on Judgment Day. It has to be the correct Jesus, the one of the scripture. That's the one you've got to get in by. No other Jesus is going to be acceptable. But Satan is smart and he does that. The cults will give you another Jesus and trick you. Ones that are robbers, that would probably be more fall into the line of Islam, where, for example, if you don't believe as they do, they'll just kill you. And that's oftentimes how that works. It's more by force than it is by even deception. And it's not hidden. So it's interesting to me here when we think about the Lord saying everybody that went before him were thieves and robbers. During Jesus' day, we can already mark a few off. Who's he talking about? Number one, we know the Sadducees and Pharisees were thieves and robbers. But who else can we identify before we get to some others I'm going to share with you? That is the ones that existed by this time. Guess what? Buddhism was already in existence by this time. So Jesus here declares that Buddhists are false. Hinduism, it was already in authority by this time. It was already in being used as an authority, a religious authority. Jesus says they're thieves and robbers. Confucius, same thing. It was around in this day. So these clearly we can point to and say these are false religions. They're leading people in the wrong direction. But how do we know others that are there today that are false religions? And again, these are ones that even offer a Jesus and offer a way into the kingdom, but they're false. And how do we identify them as false? They go against the word of God, and they have a different Jesus. And guys, note this. If a couple of sheep herders or sheep thieves steal up to your door and come up to your door to steal in twos or whatever, you need to understand, first of all, what you're dealing with and some scripture and how to deal with that. And what you're going to find is, get to the root of who is their Jesus. Tell me about your Jesus. Is your Jesus God and God alone? Listen, you'll have some that show up at your door that say Jesus is God, but he's one of many. No, he needs to be God and God alone. And you have to find out, is he the only way to salvation? Let me give you some examples of some of those that will try to rip you off in modern day. Jehovah's Witness. How do we know they're false? Because they claim that Jesus is Michael the archangel. And yet when you go to the scripture in Hebrews 1:5, it says this, "For to which of the angels did he, that is God, ever say, 'You are my son. Today I have begotten you.'" And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be a son to me. So the scripture clearly shows false teaching in Jehovah's Witness. Okay, what's another? What about Mormonism? All who believe, they say that one day, that if you're a Mormon, you can be a god. You'll be your own god one day. It's the same lie from the garden. You can be like God. And yet, listen what the scripture says, and this is one of many. Isaiah 44:6 says this, "Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first and the last." By the way, the Redeemer is Jesus Christ. We know that. He's the Lord of hosts. He says, Jesus says, "I am the first and the last." Here's the key. Watch this. "Besides me, there is no God." Period. End of story. End of sentence. Anyone that tells you there's other gods, they're false teachers. They're thieves and they're robbers. They're trying to rip off the flock of God and lead you down a wrong path. "But they're so nice. They buy my groceries. They pay my bills." Well, sometimes demons can be really nice, okay? I'm not saying the people are demons. Please let me give that balance. But Satan knows what'll get to you. And if buying your groceries and paying your monthly bill will draw you in, they will buy your groceries and pay your monthly bill. But they are deceived. Now, some of them don't even know they're deceived. I'm not saying they're all out there realizing, okay, we're taking the message of Satan, let's go, you know. I don't think they know that. I think they really believe, many of them, they're taking a message of truth, but the problem is they are deceived, and the scriptures tell us that. And Jesus tells us that. Don't be deceived even by kindness, because kindness isn't what gets you in the kingdom. It's the truth that gets you in the kingdom and the right Jesus. Again, lastly, Islam. Again, I just picked some of the main ones that are out there because Jesus already swiped the others out of the way. Islam claims that Jesus was not the Son of God and did not die on a cross. Yet Jesus declared he was the Son of God, which puts them at odds with him. And also the scripture declares he died on the cross. Mark 15:24 says this, "And when they had crucified him," that is Jesus, "they divided his garments, casting lots for them to determine what every man should take." Thieves and robbers, all of them. That's what the Lord is saying. He says, "I'm not." He says, "I'm the door." And he's also going to be the good shepherd. We're going to see he gets more into that next week, although he touches on it this week. Look at what he says in verse 3. Speaking of this, the door and the shepherd. He says, "To him the doorkeeper opens." You now know what that is. The doorkeeper himself is the door. "And the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out." And I love this. Not only the fact that he calls them by name. We talked about that. He knows our name. And by the way, it makes me happy that the Lord knows my name. He knows my name and he leads me out. He doesn't drive me. He doesn't get behind me with a whip and pow, right? He leads. He leads the way. And guys, listen, that's what we're to do for our families. Dads, moms, we're to lead. We're to lead for our kids. You know, while they're home, yes, we can guide them, we can mold them, we can put boundaries around them. But when they go out on their own, we can't make them do anything for the Lord. They have to do it on their own. We have to be the example and be that boundary for them while they're at home. Then when they're gone, we lead. Listen, some of our kids are going to fall away. And some of you have experienced that. Your kids have turned away. When they got on their own, they decided, well, you know what, that was good for mom and dad, but I'm not going to go that direction. But they know the truth. What happens 5 years down the road when their world falls apart? And they're collapsing. You know what they're going to do? They're going to look back to where mom and daddy is and find out which direction they need to go. They may not admit that, but they're going to see, is there any stability in my life? Now that everything has fallen apart, where's the stability? Moms and dads, if you are walking away from God, if you're not with God and that moment comes, they're going to think, then why should I turn to God? Mom and dad aren't walking with him. It must not be any good for them. They've been doing it longer. Then why would I go that direction? And that may be a pivotal point for your children when they come to that place to come back if they fall away. Let me tell you this, if they fall into that pit and their life falls apart because they've turned away and they look for something stable in their life and they see mom and dad walking for Jesus, it's powerful.
Thanks for spending the last half hour with us at the table of God's Word. Pastor Mark will continue teaching through the book of John next time, but you don't have to wait for our next episode to keep digging into the Bible. You can access more messages right now at PastorMarkKirk.com or subscribe to the daily podcast right from our website. And feel free to share these teachings with your friends or family members or someone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say. The book of John is a great introduction to who Jesus is, and it might just be the conversation starter you've been looking for. That website again is PastorMarkKirk.com. Hey, are you listening right now in the Knoxville area? If so, we want to meet you. Here's Pastor Mark with a personal invitation.
Thanks, Greg. I want to let you know there's a seat waiting for you here at Calvary Knoxville. We've been here since 1997, and it's been an honor to see God do such incredible things in our fellowship and in this community. Come join us as we invest in God's Word and in each other. And yes, we're meeting in person. All our services and ministries are being held each week, but we're also streaming online for those who can't make it in person. You can find out everything by clicking on the Our Church section at PastorMarkKirk.com. I'm excited to see you this weekend, and I hope you'll join me again the next time we come to the table.
Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.